sooner or later, when you least expect it, there comes a point of no return, a dead end from which there seems no escape, a moment in time, a moment of crisis. Saul Fetterman had it all. A nagging shrew of a wife, an overbearing brother-in-law, and the encroachment of old age. The one bright spot in his life was his job as chemist at the Sunny Bright Paint Company, where he and a handful of other employees had weathered a change of ownership. Saul Fetterman's refuge was his work, which he did thoroughly and well, and in which he felt secure, until shortly before 10 on the morning of November 4th. Our tale of suspense, The Loophole, starring Hans Conried, will begin immediately following this message. And now, Hans Conried in The Loophole.
Yes, come in. Good morning, Bessie.
Hello, Mr. Fetterman. Can I interrupt you?
Anytime, Bessie, anytime at all. Bye.
Mr. Richardson wants to see you.
Richardson? He does?
Yes.
Now? Right now?
He asked me to come get you.
Come get me? Why does he act like I need a keeper? What's happening?
I don't know.
Bessie.
Really? I don't... He... Oh, Mr. Fetterman.
Bessie, what... No, wait a minute. Let me shut this door. Oh, it's as bad as that, is it?
I don't really know anything.
No, Bessie, you know everything. You are Madame Defarge and Golda Meir all rolled into one. Oh, you know.
Ah, Fetterman, come in. Close the door. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you very much, but I think I may have some paint on my coat. Maybe I better...
I'll come right to the point, Fetterman. Sonny Bright is too fat.
Too fat?
Too much overhead. I don't expect a chemist to know much about sales curves, but frankly, ours is sick.
It is?
It's a dog-eat-dog world in paint. Big boys are getting bigger, and the little boys are getting pushed out of the apple tree. You follow me?
The apple tree?
I think you know why I came here a couple of weeks ago.
To be the new manager.
Yeah. I'm here to turn Sonny Bright around, get the product into discount houses, build up the volume. Words of one syllable, Fetterman. I've got to trim the fat.
Ah, and I am maybe a little too fat. Huh?
What exactly is it you do back there in your little lab?
What do I do? I test samples of our paint to see that it's up to specifications. I run durability tests and gloss tests, hiding tests.
And you serve long and faithfully, I'm sure, which makes it tough for me to do this, Fetterman. I'm letting you go.
Letting me go?
There's a new electronic analyzer on its way, Fetterman. It'll pay for itself in a year's time.
Well, it's very interesting. If you don't have to keep on paying, then, like you do a human person.
Exactly. You can see we have no choice. In this dog-eat-dog market, Fetterman, you do what you have to do.
Oh, sure.
Now, Bessie has a check made out to you.
So that's why the tears.
What?
Excuse me, nothing. I'll go clean out my lab.
Well, that's all right. Just leave it.
Leave it.
Say, by the way, how long were you with us anyway?
18 years. It would be 19 in January.
Oh, Mr. Fetterman.
Oh, there, Bessie.
It's true what they say about the new broom, isn't it?
What's that?
A new broom sweeps clean. He's getting rid of all the old guard, Mr. Fetterman. One. By one.
Well, I don't know how you make paint with electronic machines instead of people, but by golly, he's going to try to do it.
What will you do now?
Do? I don't know. I'm not used to thinking about what I'm going to do. I always knew what I was going to do every day. Now
I have your check here.
Oh, thanks, Betsy. No, wait. Wait a minute. You know what? the company retirement plan they put in. You remember? I'm not fired, Bessie.
I'm retired. Not sure.
Well, of course. Let me see that thing they sent around to all of us, that brochure. You got one?
Yes, but I'm not sure.
Well, it's like I've always said, Bessie. To every cloud, there is a silver lining.
Home at 11 in the morning. You're sick.
No, I'm not sick.
You forgot your lunch bag? Oh, you took your lunch bag. I remember. You lost your lunch bag.
I didn't lose my lunch bag. I lost my job.
Look, don't make jokes, Saul. Remember my heart.
I'm sorry, Cilla, but look, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Bad? How long do you think we can survive without the paycheck?
Yeah, well, you forget the company has a retirement plan.
Let me sit down before I fall down.
Here. See right here. The Sunny Bright Paint Company here in Arthur, known as the company, has provided for all its employees...
Don't read me from the small print, Saul. What do you think you are, my brother Harry? My brother Harry is the lawyer in the family.
Yeah, but if you'd only listen, see, it says here...
I'll call Harry.
But we don't need Harry.
We need Harry.
You poor fish. You poor fish.
What, Harry?
I knew it.
When's your birthday, Saul?
My birthday? It's December 10th.
No. I mean, how old are you?
I'm...
He's 61.
You're sure, sis? Not maybe 62?
Look, if Zilla says I'm 61, I'm 61. Don't I look 61?
You poor fish. If you were 62, you'd be eligible for the retirement plan.
What do you mean?
It's right here, Saul. To be eligible for the retirement income, you must have reached the age of 62 while still employed by the company.
I think I'm going to die.
Saul, all you've got out of 18 years with the paint company is a $10,000 life insurance policy. You're worth more dead than alive.
There's got to be a loophole in this somewhere, Harry.
Read it for yourself. To be eligible for the retirement plan, you've got to be 62 years old.
Oh, boy, some cheapskates. They knew I was 61. They knew if they didn't fire me now, they'd have to pay me retirement for the rest of my life.
Call the doctor. I'm going to die. No, don't call the doctor. We can't afford him.
How much have you got saved up, Saul?
How much? That's kind of a personal question, Harry.
I'm only asking as your attorney.
What are you so proud of, Mr. Financial Genius? Harry is not only my brother, he is Harry Zinter, who put himself through law school and passed the state bar examination. We're broke, Harry.
No, wait a minute. So I haven't got much money saved up. A man can work. I'm a chemist.
Do you see many companies advertising for 61-year-old chemists?
Zilla's right, Saul.
No, let me think. Just... give me some time to think. So you're still here, Harry? Huh?
We had lunch while you were waiting in the bedroom, thinking.
What did you decide to do, Saul?
I think I'll go hunting.
Job hunting?
No. Yeah, hunting. You know, with a gun.
Oi, we're heading for the poorhouse. And he takes a vacation.
Maybe I can shoot a pheasant. That's some meat for the winter.
Some Daniel Boone you are. You haven't hunted in 10 years.
I know that.
Talk him out of it, Harry.
No. You can save your breath, both of you. I've packed some clothes and I'm stopping by the store for some provisions. And I'm only going to be gone overnight, all right? I intend to be back tomorrow evening. If I shouldn't be back by then... something has happened.
What are you talking?
The Zilla, you know where the important papers are. The mortgage stuff and the car payment book. And the insurance policies. You know where they are. In the top left drawer of my chest in the bedroom. Huh? Now, the two policies. Two $10,000 policies.
Of course I know. One you're buying and one from Sunnybright.
Well, good. Then I'm leaving. Harry... take good care of Zilla while I'm gone. And Zilla...
Well?
I love you.
It's late afternoon before Saul Fetterman reaches the tiny cabin in the woods that long ago sheltered a lonely prospector, but now leans broken and rotting where a long-forgotten snowslide left it wedged between two trees.
Oh, boy. Oh, I made it. Is this where I'm going to have to stay? I didn't remember it was so broken down. Oh, well, I gotta get this pack off. Oh, that's better. Whew, I'm out of condition. I never was in condition. I wonder how cold it's going to be tonight. A man could freeze to death. And that would solve all my problems. I better get a fire going. I guess these branches will burn. Yeah. And now the matches. Where did I put the matches? Oh, here. Yeah. Oh. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, Fetterman, you forgot to bring anything to cook in. And, oh, no, I don't even have a can opener. Oh, what a fool. Fetterman, you fool. The smoke is getting in my eye.
Hello? Hello, is that you,
Saul? Who's there? I can't see a damn thing with the smoke in my eye.
Well, Saul Fetterman, the mighty woodsman.
Oh, Harry, I don't believe it, but what are you doing here?
Well, I figured you were going to get pretty hungry, so I brought some hot food.
I don't understand. How did you know
that? I followed you. Here, a thermos of hot chicken soup. Later we'll have some potato salad and apples. That's all I could get in a hurry without losing you.
You were following me all the way from town?
Hey, douse that fire. With all this smoke, you're going to get the Forest Service up here. You wouldn't want that, would you?
No, of course not. There, it's out now. Yeah. Does Zilla know that you followed me?
Sure, she sent me. Here, eat your chicken soup.
Poor Zilla, she's worried sick, yeah?
You said it. She knows what you're planning to do up here, and so do I. You're an idiot, Saul. Zilla wouldn't get a dime on those insurance policies if you're a suicide. Didn't you know that?
Suicide?
Come on. After that farewell speech, what do you think? Of course we knew.
Well, you're wrong. You're both wrong.
Is that so?
Yes, I swear it. I wouldn't commit suicide. That's wrong. It's immoral.
So what were you going to do up here?
Oh, Harry, I'm a desperate man. I had it all figured out. I even brought along extra clothes and my spare dentures and everything to throw in the river.
What do you mean, to throw in the river?
To make it look like an accident, to make it look like I was dead. Don't you see? I figured I'd make it look like I had died, and then in a little while...
After the insurance company paid your widow off?
Yeah, then I'd go back down and get Zilla. We'd change our names, go away, and start really living. Maybe in Florida.
So, that's grand larceny.
I know, but what if I got left but larceny? But, honey, it's too late.
Why is it too late?
Huh?
What you need is someone to substantiate your death.
You mean Harry? You'd help me?
I don't know, Saul. I'd like to. You know that. I mean, after all, Zilla is my sister. But I'd be taking an awful risk.
I know. Just forget it, please. Forget I ever said anything about it.
There'd be an investigation. But, of course, if a respected member of the legal fraternity testified that he saw you lose your footing and fall into the river up above the falls. No, that won't do.
Why not? That sounds great.
No. There'd have to be a body turn up eventually.
Oh.
But fire. You say you brought extra dentures?
Yes.
All right, give me the dentures. And your wristwatch. Oh. And keys. Anything else you carry with you that wouldn't burn.
All right, all right. Here are my keys. And here's my watch. What are you going to do with them?
Leave them in your car when we burn it. Come on.
You burn my car? How will I get back down off this mountain?
You won't, Saul. You'll be hiding up here until it's all over. Well, that's what you planned to do, wasn't it?
Yes, and Harry, you're going to help me. How can I ever thank you?
The companies that insured the life of Saul Fetterman were mercifully prompt in paying Zilla the $20,000. And the weekly secret trips to Saul's mountain hideaway by faithful brother-in-law Harry Zinter bring not only provisions, but news of the outside world.
Great news, Saul. Zilla thinks she's got a buyer for the house.
Oh, yeah, a buyer? Oh, that's wonderful, Harry. Oh, I'd be so glad to come down off this mountain and stop living like a hermit. When she sells the house, you tell her she's to buy a ticket direct to Florida, and I'll follow right after. Then it's a new life for the Fettermans, yeah? Yeah. How long do you think it's going to be?
Hard to say exactly.
Yeah, well, tell me, how is she doing? Putting on a good act, a bereaved widow, so no one should know I'm really alive, huh?
I'll tell you the truth, Saul. You know Zilla and her big mouth?
Oh, do I know?
No, I never told her you were really alive.
What? What? She thinks I'm really dead?
It's safer this way, Saul.
It's safer? You mean at this moment Zilla is grieving around thinking I'm dead and gone? Harry, what kind of a brother are you?
I'm a brother who's afraid Zilla would open her mouth and put us both in the penitentiary. That's what's kind. Leave it to me, will you?
Leave it to me, he says. My poor, poor Zilla. Harry, take me off this mountain now.
Are you crazy?
Take me off this mountain tonight. I'm going to see Zilla so she won't be worried sick.
So she isn't worried about you anymore. You're dead. You don't worry about dead people.
Well, Zilla would. Come on, Harry. With this black beard I've grown, no one would recognize me.
I still think you're taking a terrible chance, Saul.
Just don't worry about me. If anyone catches me, I'll tell them I've just staggered in from having amnesia or something. You wait right here in the car. I can hardly wait to see the expression on her face when she recognizes me. I better not go up the front steps. I go down the driveway and go in the back door. Yes, the back door. If only those nosy neighbors don't spot me. Oh, I can see her in the kitchen.
Who is it?
Zilla, open up.
What? Who's there?
Zilla, it's me. I'm not really dead.
Who are you? What do you want?
No, Zilla, it's me, Saul. Look, I just grew this beard.
Saul?
Let me in, Zilla.
Saul.
Let me in. I'll explain everything. Isn't it wonderful, Zilla? I'm really not dead. I'm fine. And we're going to Florida.
Oh, no.
Zilla. No. What have I done? I've got to get help. Harry, come quick. Harry, get out of the car and come quick. Don't just sit there, Harry.
You old fool, keep your voice down.
But Harry, when she saw me, she passed out. I think she may be dead.
Yeah, well, with her heart condition, I wouldn't be surprised.
But then get out and help me.
No, Saul. I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you a lift down to the freight yard.
Why would I want to go down to the freight yard? And I'm worth $20,000.
Not anymore. If poor Zilla's dead, she can't share it with you, can she?
No. You're right. Then who gets it?
Well, it's right a new world that I drew up for her. Her estate goes to her nearest living relative.
That's you.
Strange how things work out, isn't it, Saul?
Well, you cheap, conniving shyster.
To what, Saul? Turn me in? You can't do that. You're a dead man, remember? If you suddenly should come back to life, you'd spend the rest of your years in prison for grand larceny. As your attorney, I advise you to get out of town. How about it? Want to live?
No. No, I can find the freight yards by myself.
Saul Fetterman, a study in frustration, whose occupation from here on out is to maintain himself in a state of oblivion, which is a lot colder than Florida this time of year. Our special guest star on Crisis was Hans Conried. Heard with Mr. Conried were Mike Reynolds as Harry, Leah Sluice as Zilla, Pat French as Bessie, and Merrill Mail as Mr. Richardson. Our engineer was Lou Lathrop. The Loophole was written and produced for Crisis by yours truly, Jim French.